Welcome back to another episode of Eye on Digital Marketing. I am your host, Chuck Forbes, Manager of Client Engagement. Don't forget, if you have an Alexa device at home, you can just open Eye on Digital Marketing by simply asking Alexa, "Alexa, open Eye on Digital Marketing." You can also follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, at More Visibility. And if you're looking for some great tips, you want to stay engaged with us, make sure you visit our website, morevisibility.com, and sign up for our newsletter. Let's get down to today's topic. I am joined by our president and co-founder, Andy Wetzler. Andy, how are you today?
I'm fantastic, Chuck. How are you?
Great. Thanks so much for joining me on the podcast. And you're here today for a specific reason. If users haven't seen yet maybe the post on LinkedIn or haven't visited the site and noticed that you recently have put together quite an impressive book of, I would assume, tons of great digital marketing tips over the years of everything that you've seen. And that book is called Lightning in a Search Engine. Which we'll repost for this podcast and let users know where to download it and get it and read it. But Andy, let's start at a high level. How did this come about and what was your goal here? And what did you start thinking when you're putting all this together?
Thank you, Chuck, for having me on the podcast today. So, you know, we've been at More Visibility. October will be our 20-year anniversary. Yeah. And since 2003, every month, month in and month out, I've written a monthly newsletter, a monthly article for our newsletter. And over the last couple of months, I've just spent some time going back through, seeing what I've written.
Yeah.
Some of it seemed really crazy. Some of it seemed historically like, ancient times. But at the end of the day, it was a lot of material. And the more I thought about it, the more I felt that there was value in sort of aggregating 16 years of newsletter articles into one single document.
Yeah.
And the name Lightning in a Search Engine really speaks to the fact that when we began the company in 1999, search was so new. It was something that just sort of took the world by storm,
Yeah. Took
me by storm. My background prior to co-founding the company was in more traditional direct marketing, call centers, direct mail, inside sales departments, catalogs, stuff like that.
Completely different stuff.
Different. And also, if you think about just the basis of call centers, particularly on the outbound side, the whole notion is that you're calling 100 people to find that one person who may be interested in whatever it is that you're trying to market. And the thing that was so fascinating to me and blew me away about the internet in the early days was the fact that instead of going through that whole exercise, you could instead, via keywords, put yourself in front of people that were already looking for whatever product or service it is that
Right.
you had to offer. So when we, the way that we started the company, just quick side story,
Yeah.
is that we rented a mailing list in 1999 and we did a blast, I guess, and said, if you'd like to know where you are in the search engines, fill out this form and fax it back, legitimately fax it back. And we got this insane response via the fax machine
Wow.
to the point that like at 10 o'clock at night, I went to Office Depot to get a second fax machine.
Wow.
It was insane.
By the way, I don't know any of this either. This is all a nice breaking story for me too. That's great background. Yeah.
Yeah. So my background is probably different than a lot of folks that are in digital marketing today, in the sense that and maybe that's because I'm old, but nonetheless, I started in a different world of marketing.
Yeah.
So the book is my sort of viewpoint and vantage point of the evolution of the internet and digital marketing. It talks about not only the different channels that have come and gone over time and the different tools that exist to make your campaigns more effective, but it also talks about what I think is the extreme importance even today of having a mix of both on and offline tactics that one is using to stay in front of both prospects and customers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about what you're doing online. It's also about things that you're doing offline that customers still appreciate today.
Yeah.
And the book, intersperses, once again, things like Yahoo and Overture from many, many years ago and Yahoo's acquisition of Overture to the importance of picking up the phone and calling somebody. And,
Yeah.
Just a little side note, and once again, this is just me, but anybody that reaches out to More Visibility to this day that we end up sending a proposal letter out to, I actually write them a handwritten note.
Yeah.
I've done that forever. And every now and then I'll be in front of the client a month or a year later and they'll say, by the way, I appreciated
Yeah.
your handwritten notes. I always, I think
Yeah.
stuff like that adds value.
No, that's great because you've seen the trend. transition from both. I mean, I see how excited I get and some of the other team members get when a new, you know, digital thing comes out. I can't imagine working in an industry where it's like, oh, now it's totally flip-flop. Like, we're not calling 100 people a day. Now we can see who wants to come to us based on their search. That is a complete flip-flop. And it's interesting because you bring that knowledge to everything that you've written since 2003. That's a lot of monthly newsletters,
a lot of articles. Like 400 pages.
I probably would guess, too, when you went back and started seeing some of those from 2003, 2008, like, you're probably like, wow, I can't believe like that's how it used to be. Or look how much that's changed since now, right? Like,
for sure.
So tell me a little bit more in depth when we start getting down to the pillars and the categories of how you sorted the book out. How are they divided up and why?
Well, I struggled for, you know, weeks if not months in terms of how to put it all together. And what I ended up with was that I basically did a dump of all the chapters, you know, of all the articles in order. But what I did prior to that in the book, so that's all old existing content that I had written, but that I thought had historical value and also value to anybody that is looking to gain some perspective on how things have evolved. But what I did, which took me, you know, quite a while to do, is I put together a list of the 9 most critical things that I've sort of took away from this whole experience thus far, and, you know, came up with the phrase 9 immutable facts about hyper profitable digital marketing programs from an old school marketer. And that is designed to say, hey, there's a lot of stuff here. We've learned a lot along the way here at More Visibility. Here are, on a very macro level, 9 things that we've come up with that separate the winners from the losers.
Yeah. So you basically compiled all this data and said, within all this, here are the 9 pillars, the 9 facts, the big takeaways that you want to give
Correct.
Out to the readers. Up to you, your book. We're going to tell them where to get it. Do you want to start diving
Sure.
into some of those 9
Absolutely.
Here? Absolutely. Let's do it.
And just one thing on the book is that it's a free book.
Right.
I didn't think that it was the kind of thing to try to sell per se. You can actually go on Barnes & Noble and buy it, but
Yeah.
we're also giving it away for free. So
Awesome.
With that said, the first thing on the list from my perspective is that it's really easy to overlook the fact that your website itself needs to be highly effective. It needs to be well thought out in terms of how it's put together. It needs to be organized in an intelligent manner. And the material that's on there and the action steps that you're trying to get folks to take when they hit the website need to be, you know, in sync. So we spend, you know, the first chapter of the book, once again, we talk about the 9 immutable steps, talking about the importance of making sure that you have a well-oiled machine in terms of the website itself.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a way to just sort of circle back between history and real time today, one of the biggest topics within the industry and something that we're very much leading the charge with today is conversion rate optimization, CRO. And CRO at the end of the day is making sure that the elements on your website are put together in the best possible fashion.
Right.
So, you know, that's where we started.
That's very true. Shameless plug too. I just wrote a new CRO blog. So you should go to our website and you should check out that blog as well if you're listening to this podcast.
Yes, you should.
A lot of great tips. CRO is another thing that's been going on since back in the day and it's still going on today and it's not ever going to go away because it's such a valuable an easy test. So,
now it's called something different, right?
Right.
Back
Right.
then it was AB experiments or, you know, just trying different things.
Exactly.
Today we have a fancy name for it, but at the same time, there's more science and artificial intelligence behind it that are making it easier to, you know, streamline that process.
Yeah. And even if you had this tip back when you first started writing monthly newsletters in 2003, 2005, et cetera, make sure your website structure makes sense, valuable. Still to this day, we see brands and companies who need extreme improvement on their websites. And we're living in a time today where you're like website first, you're website centric. That is very much a focal point of your business. So even in 17 years of progress, there's still a lot to be made, right? So
for sure.
Andy, what's number 2?
Number 2 is getting everybody within your organization on the same page in terms of the goals and objectives for the website. It's real easy for the marketing department to be gung-ho on the site. They may or may not have genuine buy-in from the sales team that's actually running with the leads, and they may or may not have buy-in from other, you know, aspects of an organization. And where we see companies or organizations thrive is where everybody's sort of beaten to the same drum. And where we see things get out of kilter is when the goals of the marketing department are not aligned with the sales department, or not aligned with the budgeting that's being given to fuel it, stuff like that. So we spend a lot of time with our clients helping to make sure that expectations are set across the board, both between us and the client, but more importantly, almost within the client itself, so that everybody there is on page with what's going on.
What's number three?
Number three is content creation is the currency of the internet. So Chuck, you and I are sitting here today doing a podcast, and we as an organization have made a tremendous investment of time and energy and everything else to create content for our social channels on an ongoing basis. Yeah. And as we look at our clients and we look at who, you know, really has their act together and who is still, you know, sort of maybe treading water more than they could, the folks that are unequivocally committed to creating content, and content that is not just for the sake of content, because you can't really fool the search engines that way, but strategic content that's aligned with your business goals, aligned with the content on your website, aligned with the products and services that you offer, the more you can create that sort of content, the more favorably it will be received by Google, by the social channels, et cetera, and ultimately by your target audience.
I couldn't agree more, obviously, as, you know, being hosting the podcast and doing blogs. But I remember when I first got hired by More Visibility almost 5 years ago, there was a book lying around the office called Content is King. I don't know if you ever picked it up, but I was like, I said to Danielle, I was like, let me read that book. I need to read it. And ever since then, it stressed pretty much exactly what you said is valuable, consistent content that, you know, answers a challenge or has value to the people you're trying to go after will always succeed. You'll always be safe. It's when people start doing it for just other reasons, or they're not into it, people aren't going to really follow that. I mean, think about the people and brands you follow. It's engaging content. You know, that's what people need. So it's so important.
And I would just add that part of that whole emphasis is the fact that it needs to be consistent.
Yep.
So doing a piece of content and then sort of going dark for a month and then circling back, there's no momentum gained at that point.
No, you just lost everybody you just gained.
Yeah. So we need to make sure that our clients are walking the walk and doing it.
Exactly.
Number four is SEO matters. That's sort of like an obvious one. Like, well, we all know that. But you'd be surprised today how many organizations we bump into one way or another. And I would say these are not clients, but more so folks that we're talking to that have been down the road with SEO and have had poor results, or are, you know, just tired of going through the exercise and are no longer putting the energy into search engine optimization that they once did. And that's unfortunate, because the more you can do to drive organic traffic to your site, the more resources you'll have for other marketing efforts like paid search, which we'll tackle next. And at the same time, you're not controlling the land, the real estate on the search engine results page the way that you could.
I totally agree. And working with clients on a day-to-day basis, there's an affinity to do paid advertising first, because you can flip a switch and measure it so quickly. And there's so much less of an affinity to focus on SEO when you're maybe your budget constricted, or, you know, your marketing leader says pick one. And it should be the opposite, because you said something when we first got on, everything works in tandem. Like, you have a marketing ecosystem, online, offline, organic, paid. If you're only focusing on one and you're neglecting organic, that's a huge piece of the pie you're missing. It's so important.
Next on my list is paid search. And paid today is really not paid search. It's paid interactive, or, you know, there's a lot of terms for it. But at the end of it all, it's running effective campaigns in Google, in Bing, in LinkedIn, and in Instagram, and in Facebook, and in any other channel that is aligned with your target audience. The social engines in particular, social networks in particular, have placed a premium on paying to play. The breadth of distribution that you can get today with an organic post in Facebook compared with a year or 5 years ago is dramatically different. Facebook wants your money, and as a result, if you're serious about promoting whatever it is that you offer via social channels, you need to be prepared to do a ton of testing and experimentation, see what works and what doesn't, always trying the newest, you know, channels or tactics that the engines are rolling out there. But at the end of the day, paying is a big piece of the puzzle today.
Number six
is something I shared with you as we were talking about the intro, but it's connect with your clients in non-digital ways. One of, you know, my biggest responsibilities is maybe not the best word, but one of the things that I, you know, enjoy most and spend quite a bit of time doing is going to get on a plane and go to visit clients.
Yeah.
Clients, A, genuinely appreciate when you make the effort to do that, and B, the amount of learning that you get from showing up at their office, meeting their team, walking the floor if it's a factory.
Yeah.
Anything that you can do to dig deep, it goes so far in terms of, you know, fostering a client relationship and being in a position to service them better. And we do a lot of that here. It's not just myself. We have a bunch of folks within the organization that are on site seeing clients on a very frequent basis. And that translates to some industries better than others. If you're a pure e-commerce B2C environment, you probably aren't getting on a plane to visit a customer necessarily.
Right.
But if you're in B2B in particular, the advantages to be gained from doing that, particularly from a competitive differentiator standpoint, are huge.
Yeah, we say it all the time. We are so entrenched in a digital world, actually taking a more traditional approach when it comes to people, you'll find great wins. At the end of the day, yes, we're using artificial intelligence, all these marketing tactics to still market to people. So those handwritten notes, those face-to-face, even on calls now, I try and do video calls as much as I can, just because it's face-to-face.
It makes it real.
And it makes those conversations easier, more collaborative. And at the end of the day, like you said, you're going to build a better relationship. And that's important.
And one of the things that sort of ties with this, and this is a point I'll get to in a minute, but that is specific on the client side, is that we do a handful of events a year with Google, directly at Google headquarters, typically in New York, also here in South Florida, and have folks from Google fly in to help us. And people that we work with appreciate the opportunity to get access to influential folks within Google that really understand from the backside what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you in your industry have an ability to do similar types of events where experts that are recognized within the industry can come speak to your clients,
yeah,
that goes a long way in cementing relationships and making sure, you know, everybody feels like they're getting the most possible out of their partner.
I love it. Number seven.
Number seven is LinkedIn. So this really is much more of a B2B entity than it is consumer oriented, but we have found tremendous success in working with LinkedIn as a channel, both on the paid side and on the organic side. So mm-hmm. on the organic side, that we're back to content again. If you create content that's effective for your target audience, you have wonderful opportunities within LinkedIn to put that out there in user groups with the folks that you're connected to, lots of different ways to reach out. On the paid side, LinkedIn sometimes tends to be more costly on a pay-per-click, on a cost per click basis than you would find in Google. However, the targeting that you're able to put into play in LinkedIn is absolutely phenomenal. We do a lot of work with clients that have narrow B2B audiences. It could be industry that makes it narrow. It could be geography that makes it narrow. It could be size of company. All those variables are factors that you can control with respect to making sure that your ads are only showing up in front of those types of folks. So we talk in the book about the importance and value of leveraging LinkedIn.
Yeah, super powerful platform. Like you said, a great social network to use for B2B, and is starting to open up its doors with certain algorithm changes to make it more effective to have your great content be spread farther. Like I remember 5, 6, 7 years ago, LinkedIn really was only able to highlight super influential people who had a lot of followers and influencers. Maybe a Chuck Forbes couldn't post an article and get as much engagement as I do now. That platform's completely changed, which helps on the organic side. And the targeting on the paid side, like you said, is fantastic. So if you're not leveraging that, you know, contact us. We can definitely get you in the right direction there. Andy, last two here, number eight.
Number eight is a commitment to learning on an ongoing basis. If you go back through the chapters of my book or through the articles I've written over the years, everything is different than it was, and everything continues to be evolving in every facet of digital marketing. So we place a high emphasis both for our team and for our clients on making sure that they're up to date on the latest and greatest, and also the challenges that folks are experiencing out in the real world. There are endless ways that one can learn, whether it's reading blogs, more visibility blogs, but industry blogs obviously as well, going to conferences, trade shows, going to local events. All that stuff is highly valuable if you're committed to learning and you want to push.
Yeah.
And we, you know, here push to make sure that we are as fresh, up to date, and zeroed in on what's best for our clients as possible, and a continued commitment to learning is key to that.
Absolutely. Last but certainly not least, number nine.
Last but certainly not least, ties right into sort of everything else that we've talked about, which is the imperativeness of testing new channels, new everything that exists within digital marketing. All of the engines, all the social channels are continuously pushing out new opportunities to try to, you know, refine your target audience. One of the things that we're very fortunate of here at More Visibility, given our longstanding relationship with Google, Bing, the social channels, et cetera, is that our clients are very often able to participate in beta programs that aren't available to the, you know, general business public, if you will. Yeah. So whether it's a program that we're able to get you in months in advance of everyone else, or it's just something else that's new and exciting, you should be testing different avenues to get your message across, looking at conversion rates, looking at cost per acquisition, looking at all the fundamental metrics that exist, and trying to layer in new channels that will work. Quick story, going back to our early days here at the company, is that prior to Google AdWords, so we're talking the early 2000s, mm-hmm. Google had a model that was like called Premier Listings. And instead of an auction-based model, you could buy keywords for like $2,500 a year, wow. Flat rate, seriously. Wow. So for the first couple years before
they steal now.
For the first couple years of the program before they, you know, I guess got smart and realized they were leaving a lot of money on the table, we owned the phrase search engine optimization and the phrase search engine marketing.
Yeah.
And if you typed in Google, we were there.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we built that. That gave us a huge head start on everybody else or on most other folks that got into the space.
Right.
And that's how, you know, we built a lot of momentum in the early days.
Yeah. I think those two keywords would probably cost a little bit more now for an annual contract.
That might be a weekly amount. Right.
Daily, maybe.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
Andy, this is fantastic. So just to kind of go back down the list and highlight again the 9 points for the listeners here. Number one, website structure, right? Make sure it's valuable. Number two, get everyone in your organization on the same page. Have a cohesive team. Work to the same goal. Number three, one of my personal favorites, content creation is the currency of the internet. No doubt about it. If you're not creating good, engaging content, you need to be. And if you're stuck on how to do that, reach out to us.
We can help.
We can help, absolutely. Number four and five, SEO and paid search, two extremely large and valuable buckets. And again, you should be in some ways focusing on both, hopefully. And if you're not, again, reach out. Six, connect with your clients in non-digital ways. Connect with anyone who's valuable to your brand or company in a non-digital way, because most likely you probably already have a plan to reach them digitally, right? So keep those connections in line. LinkedIn, number seven, extremely valuable platform. It's only going to continue to rise in value, in my opinion. Like you said, maybe a little bit more costly, but the targeting is worth it. Number eight, have a commitment to learning. Do not ever stop your continuing education, especially if you're in the digital marketing industry. I don't know how you can work in this industry and not commit to that. And number nine, test new channels, test new tactics, always be trying new things and push that envelope. These are all fantastic pillars. Again, you're getting 20 years worth of knowledge from someone who's written blogs and talked about these things and seen that evolution. So Andy, we'll give out the link on where they can go and download it, but we have a webpage set up, right, where you can submit some few fields of information and get it right there on your
immediately.
Computer.
Correct.
Perfect. So go out there, download it, read the book, Lightning in a Search Engine. If you want to buy it as well, go ahead buy it. I don't think Andy's going to have a problem with that either. Andy, is there any last tips or anything that you want to give the users about digital overall or anything else about Lightning in a Search Engine?
My only, you know, final thought would be that we recognize that part of the growth of the industry is that some companies have taken all or part of their programs in-house. A lot of companies still use an agency, but a lot of companies either do it in-house or do a mix of agency and in-house. And we have been very, very effective in all of those models. We have a number of clients that have chosen to bring some functions in-house over the years, and we have supported them very, very effectively. So, you know, while we would like everything to run through here, we know the realities of digital marketing in 2019 moving forward are such that companies sometimes feel it's in their best interest to do things, you know, in themselves. And if that's an angle or a decision that you've made, we feel that there are a lot of things that you could still get from an agency, particularly More Visibility, that will help you make that as effective as possible.
Andy Wetzler, president, co-founder, More Visibility. Thank you so much for joining the podcast. Everybody go out there and check out Lightning in a Search Engine. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you very much, Chuck.